And we welcome you inside the media center at Lucas Oil Stadium. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shattuck with you. And plenty to get to today. The Combine continues, of course. Bucky Brooks, NFL media analyst, is with us. And we might get a visit from Pete Prisco himself, CBSSports.com senior NFL writer. John Osier's with us. Bucky Brooks is with us as well. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, man, thanks so much for having me on.
This is a fun time of year, right? It's really off and running now. It's quiet in here yesterday. John, we were here doing a show. Certainly changed a little bit today in here, Bucky.
You know, it's amazing how far the Combine has come in terms of just the media accessibility, how much coverage we're putting on this event. For so long, it was kind of an event that kind of existed in anonymity. Now we cover it on the network. Now you have everyone sending beat writers. Now with the explosion of the digital side, everyone takes an interest in what's going on.
And when you were going through it, you were over at the hotel. I mean, there was no spotlight in terms of the media on the players when you were going through it, which would have been, what, about 92, 93?
94 was okay, the combine that I attended. Yeah, it has changed. It's changed the dynamic a lot. Not only the media coverage, but the fact that the drills and things are on TV.
Right.
Now there's more scrutiny, more voices, more opinions. But in return, a lot of players have an opportunity to show their stuff.
Well, it also forces guys to participate, which before it started being televised, you know, most of the 15-20% top guys wouldn't even run.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tremendous amount of exposure.
A lot of pressure
Everyone gets an opportunity to see you. For the top guys, it is a lot of pressure because people have heard so much about it. The NFL fans are just now casting their eyes to the draftees, the draft picks. And based on what they've read, the expectations can be a lot higher for some of these guys. So you have to perform.
Bucky Brooks is with us from NFL Media. We've got a couple of fan questions. You're a social media guy, right?
I am almost social a little bit.
What's your Twitter handle?
What do you mean? It's at Bucky Brooks.
That's simple.
It's pretty clever.
Bucky Brooks. That's original.
How about that?
That is easy. Let's go to social media. First question from J.W. Greenbaum today. Is there more value in on-field or off-field work with the prospects? What do you value more?
Here, you value the off-field work. The interviews. That process is critical because it's the first opportunity that you've had to talk to the guys. During the fall, when you go and look at the tape and do those things, you don't have any interaction. So if you're talking about investing millions of dollars in a player that you think can be a significant player for you, you have to get around him and know what you're bringing into the building. Being able to determine the character, the football character primarily, that really goes a long way in determining whether you think this is someone that fits your organization.
You've seen it firsthand as a scout in a couple of different organizations. That's a pretty intense session, right? An interview session.
It can be a pretty intense session depending upon what the player has in his background. If he's a clean kid, then it's all about football. It's all about what you know, how you can take those skills and things that you learned at your college and fit them into what we're doing in the pros. It's easy if it's just about football. But if it's an uncomfortable situation where you have some character flaws and you have some things that we have to work through, those 15 minutes are very uncomfortable for the player, and he has to be forthright because we're asking questions that we already know the answer to. We're trying to figure out if you're going to be upfront about what is going on.
JP's been in a few of those uncomfortable situations, Buck. So, I mean, I want to mention on the air. But
thanks, John. You just did. Yeah.
If we can talk. I'm curious. You follow the league from a broad brush perspective. The Jaguars, in terms of the foundation that they've built, their record's 5-11 last year, but the talent foundation and the direction they're going, what's your assessment?
My assessment is everyone feels really encouraged about the offense. You have a quarterback in place, you have one of the best young wide receiver cores in place, and the guy that I think everyone is sleeping on is the running back that I think is going to be one of the next great running backs in T.J. Yeldon. And so offensively, everyone feels like the Jaguars are ready to compete and contend. Defensively, you have a young core that you're waiting to see if they can grow and get together. There's some pieces in place. It's unfortunate about Dante Fowler not being able to play. He's going to be the pass rusher. In the back end, you have to find a dynamic playmaker. They need someone that can set the table. If you look at Gus Bradley and what he was able to accomplish in Seattle, the Legion of Boom played a big part in that. Can they find someone in this draft that can affect that, that can give them an identity in the back end? That is the thing that I think is keeping them from being a team that can fight for a playoff spot.
Bucky, we've taken a look at your top 50 prospects. You had it a few days ago on NFL.com. A few other analysts had theirs as well. But your top five, as we look through it here, Ramsey number one, former defensive back, voting, of course. Bosa, Tunsil, Jalen Smith, and Miles Jack. But you have the defensive back, number one of your top prospects.
I think this guy's the best football player in the draft. And when I talk about football player, I'm talking about everything that he brings to the table. He's feisty, he's competitive, has a high football IQ. He is going to be a great tester here, tremendous athlete. I compare him to Charles Woodson when I played in Oakland during Woodson's first year, a guy that has this exuberance and confidence where he knows he's a good player. He understands how to get around the ball. Watching him develop at Florida State, he's a special player. You have to figure out what is the best position for him to play. Is it outside? Is it inside as a slot corner, nickel, safety? He's a unique talent. If you think about what Eric Berry has been able to do in Kansas City, he has similar skills. Versatile player, I think he's someone that is worthy of being in conversation as the number one overall.
How hard is that transition from outside maybe to free safety where the Jags might be looking?
It can be difficult. Depends on how complex the system is. What I know about Gus Bradley's system and what they're moving to, not a lot of complexities. It's really a see ball, get ball defense. You line up, keep everything in front, make plays off tips and overthrows, run and knock people out when you have the opportunity. Jalen Ramsey certainly can do that as a free safety. If you're asking them to play nickel, there's some transition because, to me, that's the most difficult position in football in the back end. Being able to come down, play slot corner where you're asked to cover some of the quick jitterbugs on the inside, also be a factor in the run, he's big enough to do it. I was with him a couple days ago. He's 204 pounds. He's going to run really fast, and he's going to really surprise people when he jumps. He's a talented player, someone that if he's there at five, I think you run up and hand the card in because he is exactly what they need in Jacksonville.
You played a while in this league, Bucky. 96 Jaguars. We have to ask you about it. Where does that rank in terms of your memories?
One of the best memories that I have because a resilient team. You talk about being 3-8 or wherever we were and making a run to go to the 3-7 and making a run to go to the playoffs. That's remarkable.
Right.
The players that I played with, from Mark Brunell and Kevin Hardy, Tony Brackens, Tony Vaselli, Leon Searcy, Natron Means leading the run. Going on the road, knocking off Buffalo, knocking off Denver, losing to New England in a game that if we played it again, I feel like we should have won.
Right.
That is a situation where I learned that you just want to be the hot team going into the playoffs.
Right.
All the other stuff during the regular season is pole position. The teams that go are the teams that are hot going in. That's what I learned from that experience.
Pretty good media corps covering you back then, too, right?
How about that? Great
media
corps.
Me, Prisco.
Prisco, some other guys.
Speaking of.
Jumping in.
Ever. Best Jaguars beat writer ever.
Yeah. Way to stir it up all the time.
The best ever.
That's also what I learned. I learned in the media thing, if you have a hot take, you can make a lasting career.
Hop in here, Pete, in between us here, and we'll get you right here. You can stand up, even, and you'll be just as tall as us, Pete.
That's great. I like that. That's funny. Use a short joke. Bucky, that was a weird season, though, wasn't it?
It was a weird season, like just so many different things, like the Andre Rison debacle scandal, however you want to tag it, him leaving, the emergence of Jimmy Smith, trying to figure out the composition of the locker room, Coach Coughlin trying to figure out how to be more engaging to the players, a lot of things that you had to sort out, got it right, and then they had a lot of success right after that. But I think if you look at how Coughlin was and how he's beloved in New York, I think some of the impetus of that started and learning from those lessons that he had to kind of acquire as a Jaguar.
And he'll admit that. He admitted that. He said, remember the donuts day? John Osher remembers that. When guys left them there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was, you know, the one thing about him at that time, I always felt like he was a really good coach. I felt like the principles and things that he taught were good, but it's the relatability. So much of the pro game is not about the X's and O's. It's about understanding how to get all the guys, to get all the cattle moving in the right direction. I think he learned how to herd, kind of get the herd going in the right direction in New York by showing his vulnerabilities and showing that he cared more about players beyond the field.
Bucky, a lot of the guys on that team, the young guys, said they thought that was the start of something that would lead to a couple of titles, a couple of championships. Did you?
I absolutely did. Because I was under the impression when you make a run, because remember, it may have been my second or third year in the league. Oh, we're going to keep the gang together, and we're just going to go right back. And we did. After the season, we go back, we make decisions, people leave. It's not the same team. Even though they had success after that, I still think that they left something on the table by breaking up that team prematurely. I felt like the pieces were in place. I mean, would we go back with that same team? No, we had to build on that. But I felt like the core was there to really have a long run in the AFC.
Pete Prisco, Bucky Brooks are with us, Jaguars.com live. He's a Ramsey guy with the Jags at five. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I think if Ramsey's there, they'll have a really tough decision to make on taking him. Now, is Bosa gone in that scenario? Is Jack gone in that scenario?
You know, it's tough because I'm thinking that both of those guys would be gone.
I'm thinking that
Jack would be gone. I think Buckner could be there. And then I think you have to make a decision. With DeForest Buckner, is he different than what you have in Jerick Audrick? Because you signed Jerick Audrick to a big deal. Do you feel like Jerick Audrick can be your ideal five technique, or that guy to kind of assess the edge on the interior of the defense? Or is it a bigger need for you to go in the back end and get kind of a hybrid player that can do a couple different things?
I think Ramsey's going to be a great safety and could be a really good corner, but I think he's a safety. I don't know. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I think he needs to play inside.
Free safety.
I think he's a unique player. The reason I liken him to Charles Woodson is not because of what Wood did early. It's what Wood was able to do when he went to Green Bay, and they found a way to tap into his special skills by moving him all over the field. We're seeing so much in today's game. People are using the tight end to control the field. Well, if my best athlete is now covering the tight end, I'm forcing you to throw outside. Ramsey's a guy that can blitz off the edge. He can play slot players. He can also play in the deep middle. There's a premium for finding players that control the middle like that. I learned from Dick Geron, build your defense strong down the middle. You'll always be fine. He is one of those players.
That's the old school, though, Bucky. The new school is on the edges. You just saw a team win on the edges with the corners and the pass rushers.
Right.
Yeah, the interior pass rush is pretty good, too.
But they were able to get it done because the guys on the inside. I'm not saying that you have to commit a lot of capital, but those guys on the inside, your inside linebackers, your defensive tackles, they need to be good players.
Here's another pepper. You mentioned Buckner. Would he be like Audrick? Would he be? I'm a big believer. You know, you only play nickel 65% of the time, so there's no 3-4-4-3 anymore. Give me 7-8 guys, and I'll figure it out and go rush. Go stop the run and rush the passer. You agree with that?
I agree with that, and I think Gus Bradley's also with that.
Yeah, but they get so pigeonholed in that. Got to have an Otto, got to have a Leo, got to have this, got to have that. Just get football players.
No, and you're right, and I think a lot of people miss that because so much of the conversation is 4-3-3-4, even with the Denver Broncos.
Right.
The Denver Broncos, they were in the 3-4 a little bit, but not really. They put, when it came time to do it, they put their pass rushers on the field. Von Miller, Marcus Ware, the guys on the inside, Derek Wolfe and Jackson, they got it done. That's how you have to build your team. You have to kind of build a situational team where you do have a deep and talented rotation. I kind of liken it to basketball. You got to have specialists. The game is full of specialists. I need to have rushers. So you're not wrong in your opinion on build some pass rush because that's what they had in Seattle. It's overlooked. They had 7 or 8 guys rolling into the defense.
And all versatile. You can get Bennett inside. You can get Cliff Averill inside. You can move them all around. That's why, and you mentioned Ramsey. If you have Ramsey, he's the hybrid, because the hybrid now is the Honey Badger. And,
yes.
And you have that guy, and you have the pass rushers, then all of a sudden your defense is good.
Absolutely. And it's funny, because I think Joey Bosa is also a hybrid.
I agree.
But in a hybrid in a different way. Not a hybrid stand-up guy. A hybrid in terms of being able to be outside and inside. Michael Bennett is a guy that you can kind of compare him to. Because Michael Bennett gives people fits when he what? Moves into the three technique.
Right.
Joey Bosa, to me, is that I don't think he's a guy that on the outside on his own is going to get 12 sacks. But being able to kind of find Waldo and put him on the mismatch, that's what Joey Bosa
we
did.
Just fixed the Jaguars defense.
You did. That was that easy.
Bucky. I mean, my God, give me the $90 million. I'll spend it.
We're set.
We fixed it.
It's that easy.
It really is. We don't need Dave Caldwell. Move over. We're going to fix the defense.
Commit to it, because that's the thing that's holding them back. The defense is holding them back.
Oh,
and
no,
I'm not
no.
saying that they need a dominant defense. They can build a team that has a defense that learns how to play with a lead. Because offensively, I think they're going to be really good. And I'm T.J. Yeldon, to me, is a dude that is very similar to Le'Veon Bell. And when he really gets in the mix and they kind of do it, and he becomes a guy that not only runs it but catches 50 to 60 and does some other things with those three receivers they have on the outside.
I'm on record already as saying if they get the right guys in defense, they will win the division next year.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that because Houston doesn't have a quarterback.
Right.
The Indianapolis Colts are, I don't think they strike fear in anybody, particularly after this year. Yeah, they're right there. And I feel like the Jaguars kind of blew it. They could have snuck in one of the division this year if they could have done enough.
Yeah. What's the rest of your week look like here, Bucky?
You know, it's crazy busy. Once we get into the drill starting on Friday, we're doing the coverage on NFL.com, NFL Media, all that stuff. But it's really fun because the most important part for me is connecting. This is a convention. All the coaches, all the GMs, everyone is there to be able to sit after hours and just talk ball. That's what it's about, to really talk off the record to these guys about what's going on in the league, the trends that's going on, how people are playing, how you have to get it done to win in this league. That's what it's about.
Pete loves off the record.
Oh, I love off the record. It's the best stuff.
Unnamed, he'll take off the record, put it on the record.
Unnamed sources.
Unnamed sources.
When you get these guys away from the camera, away from the lights, just talking, you get fascinating insight that you don't use right away, but in the year you can say, hey, this guy told me that he's going to be a good player.
See? OSHA
he
knows.
Told me that this stuff is going to happen. That's the benefit of being here.
Yep.
And your schedule this week on camera or anything?
Same stuff.
As always.
And I have to come over here and stop over here and see you guys. And, of course, me and Bucky just fixed the team, so we want to raise.
We did fix the team.
We fixed it.
We appreciate it, guys. Yeah. Thanks for fixing our team for us. That's very, very nice.
Now I can go jump in the pool of everything, right?
Yeah, come on over. Great. Bucky Brooks, Pete Briscoe, good to see you guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
It's awesome, man. Of course, our combine coverage will continue throughout the week here on Jaguars.com. We'll be live about 3 o'clock tomorrow, and Dave Caldwell will join us after his press conference. That'll be right here on Jaguars.com. Live at noon on Friday, head coach Gus Bradley will be with us right after, actually the day after his press conference. And we'll carry all that live right here on Jaguars.com. We continue live from the media center after Bucky Brooks and Pete Briscoe step away. Pretty cool duo there, huh?
Yeah, they're good guys and brings back a lot of memories. 96 and 97 when Bucky played for the Jaguars. Those were some good teams and good times. It's always in. I thought their breakdown of the defense got into some meat that we'll be chewing on for a long time this offseason. Sort of how you go about fixing the defensive front, some of the roles guys will play. So it was an interesting conversation.
Very strong on Ramsey there, obviously.
Yep. Well, and
former defensive back, former
scout. If he's available at number 5, he'll be hard to pass up.
Yeah.
And they'll have a choice. It'll depend on who goes in front of him. Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Ramsey, as Mike Mayock said yesterday, the names for the Jaguars are out there. It's going to depend on who jumps in front of them, how much they want to move up, do they want to move up, and then once it's there, what guys they like. I think no matter what happens, they'll have a good player at 5 that they'll be able to fit into this defense.
Let's touch briefly on what's happening today here at Lucas Oil Stadium, the first media day. Offensive line, running backs, specialists. At least so far, only a few specialists have come into the media center. There is a schedule of GMs and head coaches speaking at the podiums today. That started about 10 o'clock this morning, and they continue to roll throughout the day. And as the day goes along, you'll hear from offensive linemen, running backs that are going to work out 2 days from now, Friday, the first day on the field. Laramie Tunsil is one of those, obviously a big name, the tackle out of Ole Miss, a guy who he broke his leg a couple years ago, had a domestic violence charge dismissed at one point, and then the NCAA violations at Ole Miss. He was suspended a handful of games last year. But all that aside, the guy can play tackle, and he's one of the top players in this year's draft. And he'll be speaking at the podium a little later today.
Yeah, I think right now he's the odds-on favorite to be number one overall. It depends on what happens with Tennessee. Do they trade out? That'll be the conversation. But right now, if you see most mock drafts, they project him there with the school of thought being you protect the quarterback that you just drafted last year. Yep. So we'll see.
Running backs, of course, the top two, Ezekiel Elliott of Ohio State, a great speedster and has put up some big-time numbers the last couple years in Columbus and some really good teams there in Columbus. We'll hear from him today, and a lot of mock drafts have him going in the first round and the only running back going in the first round.
Yeah, this is a tough combine for you because I think your boy Derrick Henry is going to get beaten up a lot by the experts, beaten up in the sense that Heisman Trophy guy, but really doesn't fit that NFL prototype the guys are looking for in terms of being a jump cut, quick acceleration, all that. There's also a school of thought with Henry that he's one of these special guys that can overcome those kind of things being said about him. I'll bet he goes in the first round, but we'll see. Good luck to your guy.
That's right.
Means a lot
to Heisman Trophy winner. You know, comparisons we heard earlier today, LeGarrette Blount or Brandon Jacobs even when you're talking about a guy like Henry. Just big. I think he weighed in at 246 today.
Right, and it's interesting. People think he's going to be a good, good pro. It's just that first-round running back right now, it's got to be rare ability. So the position's been devalued, so it's tougher for guys to go in the first round at that position.
John, we're going to try something new today on Jaguars.com Live. You know, I don't know if you know, but you answer ozone questions each and every morning.
Every now and then.
On the website.
I've been known to answer questions.
You have a long streak going too, right?
Yeah, a little. Yeah. A while. Okay. It's not Ripken-esque, but...
Well, I don't know if this adds to the streak by default here, but we're going to do some ozone questions live.
All right, this will diminish it. That's fine.
Fine. First question from the ozone. This is David from the island. Is the first round overly hyped? Would a GM rather have 2 second-round picks instead of one first-rounder?
Well, no, first of all, because it's the first round, and that's where the vast percentages say that you have a better chance of getting a big-time player there than later, especially top 15. Mm-hmm. So any GM in the top 15 would rather have that top 15 pick than two general second-round picks, just because the odds are still in your favor. Yes, they're a bust because the draft at its core is a percentage game that you're not going to hit all your percentages, but your percentages go up in the first round. And that's where statistically anyway, it shows if you're looking for elite, that's where you find it.
Another ozone question today. This is from Mike from St. Mary's. Let's say Bosa and Ramsey are gone. Hunsell and a quarterback are gone when the Jags are up at 5. What player is the consensus next best, if there is a consensus?
Yeah, there's not really a consensus. At that point, you know, you're talking Miles Jack. We just talked about DeForest Buckner. I think those are the two guys that will get discussed the most at that mm-hmm. spot, mainly because Vernon Hargraves is up there too, the cornerback from Florida. But it doesn't feel like a corner is going to be the move at number 5 for this team. They may prove me completely wrong. I don't think it's a cornerback. So Miles Jack, do you like the athletic linebacker who can cover? Or DeForest Buckner, do you want to get more and more guys up front to come at you in waves up front? That'll be the question. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, and they have their choice of Buckner, Ramsey, and Bosa. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be nice.
I don't see that happening, but wouldn't that be great?
That would be great, John. Yeah. It would be great. How do you feel now? You've just done 2 live ozone questions. Are you exhausted? Spent?
I'm always a little sleepy.
Okay. A little bit.
It was great, JP.
Okay,
it was great.
It was so great. We'll try it again.
We'll do it again.
How about that? Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell will both be at the podium tomorrow. We'll carry those live. I believe Gus is in the morning. I think
10:30.
Third one in. And then Dave is in the afternoon about 2:30. We'll have Dave Caldwell live on Jaguars.com live tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. So join us for that. What do you expect to hear from these guys tomorrow?
Well, not a whole lot from Gus in the sense that I always feel like the combine is more of a GM thing because you're asking about the draft. You're asking about free agency coming up. Gus will talk about that a little bit, but at 2:30 when Dave talks is when you might start getting a little bit more of movement toward let's find out what the Jaguars are thinking going into free agency. He probably won't tip his hand a whole lot. Let's find out about the draft. Dave has a tendency to be able to reveal a little bit without revealing too much, but it's always newsworthy when the general manager talks at the combine.
A lot of reading between the lines
yes.
coming up tomorrow here on Jaguars.com. John, well done today. It was a good show.
You too, JP. And many thanks to Bucky and Pete. That was entertaining, as Pete always is, and it's good to have Bucky on.
Absolutely, and we thank you for watching. Thanks to John Osier for everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. That's it for now on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank from Lucas Oil Stadium at the Scouting Combine.